and speak before the people of God.
Amen.
Amen. This week was a challenging week for me because I was under the weather. Man, I was out of it. I mean, anytime you stay in the bed all day and all night, that was just brutal for me. And now, you know, then my wife, she's not feeling well. She's recovering now. Sabrina's not feeling good. So it's just kind of passing. One thing I would say is that now that our little ones have migrated into the school systems, that stuff starts to come home. And before, we wasn't having this issue. And man, they was going to the sitter. And man, we knew what the environment was like, but folks sending their kids to school sick. And you know, the kids, I don't mean no disrespect, but they don't have manners. Not good ones anyway. I mean, they have a little bit, but not a lot. When they sneeze, it's gonna come on you. And so that stuff gets on our kids and other kids, and then that stuff end up coming home with them. And man, it's not like they want to bring it home, but they bring it home. And my children, you all know them, they're lovey-dovey type of children, especially Jeremiah. I mean, he's going to be all on you, so whatever he's got, you know you're going to get it. I mean, he shares it. And when he's sick, he wears it. Amen. So I just keep my family, my wife, children, you know, lifted up in prayer. Amen. We need it. Amen. I really don't need to speak after what Lisa said, so let's just, yeah. Amen. Give us a song and we can go, huh? Man, I know some people like it. Early dismissal. Pastor didn't say anything. What? Amen. But truly, I thank God for those encouraging words, because a lot of times you all, I mean, until you become a pastor, it's kind of like we all love to say this phrase, I know what you're going through. But we don't. I mean, there's someone in here who can tell what I'm going through because they've been a pastor. But if you have never been a pastor, you have no idea what a pastor goes through. Amen. We hear it all, and we go through it all. Amen. And in the meantime, even if we get wounded, we still got to fight. Amen. Hurting and everything, we still got to fight. Amen. 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 And you know, if you've been a preacher's kid, you know what I'm talking about as well. Because if no one else in the church will help, guess what? Your name is called. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's what happens. You know, so I'm just thankful for the encouraging words, and I just really hope that you all allowed that to, you know, seep into your heart and let it stay there for a while. Amen. Because you needed to get it to flow through you. Amen. So we have a word from heaven. Amen. As God is not short of his word. So giving honor to God, who's ahead of my life, to the deacons, Brother Moore in his absence, visiting his son, amen, and to Mother Gloria, to musician, everyone in their respective places. I thank God for you all this morning. Amen. Let us stand. Let us stand. Amen. I think I heard a new voice in the house singing. Amen. Not only did I hear it, I heard it carrying a tune. Man, amen. It was carrying it. Amen. I had to come out early. I just wanted to verify what I was hearing. Amen. And I thank God for. See, let me say this. When you're a child of God, when you're in your Father's house, you get right on in. It don't take you long. You don't have to be cheerlead or prepped or any of that stuff. When you come into your Father's house, you get right into position. Amen. You don't need somebody to say, well, baby, come on, we can got a voice out there in the audience and knowing we need you up here. Gotta beg you, come on, sister, come on, brother, come on. Nah, but when it's in you, all you need is an opportunity. And when somebody say, you already gone. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, let me just say this. They don't even really have to. They just look on your direction. You already. That's somebody that's on fire. Y'all understand what I'm saying? That's the difference. It's maturity. Maturity in Christ. Different levels. But that's maturity. They know what God expects for them to do. They don't have to say, I'm waiting on God. We're not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. Y'all remember that. You're never waiting on him. He's already spoken his word. It is good. He's waiting on you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Turn to Isaiah, the 5th chapter. Isaiah, the 5th chapter, the 14th verse. Amen. My little greeter was greeting me while he was on the music. He always waving at me. That's my little greeter. He gives me thumbs up. Amen. I give it back to him. I mean, I have to make sure that I make eye contact with him because he's making eye contact with me. I mean, I can hear I can see his little lips go, Pastor. Pastor. Then I see the little thumb peek up. Little thumb be like this. You can see it, and you see the peek just come right on up. That's my little man there. Amen. I begin reading. I'm reading from the King James Version. Therefore, hell has enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. And the men and the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humble, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humble. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Amen. For the reading of God's word. Amen. I'm still battling, but praise God, I'm going to pull through this. What I want to share with you all this morning is, you know, we talk about wickedness. Wickedness has always been among us. You can go back to the Garden of Eden, where Satan began working his evil back then. And many people listen to what Satan has to say even today. Christians have become cold towards one another. How can this be? Professing Christians should be on the forefront, listen to what I'm saying, of sharing God's love. But instead, many embrace the world and its evil rather than honoring God in the way that they should. This attitude needs to change. We need to understand that we are living in the last days. As the time of judgment draws closer, it shouldn't surprise us that we can see the birth pains which Jesus spoke of getting stronger. Amen? And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's in Matthew chapter 24 and 12. You'll see that. What does that mean? Wax cold. What does that mean? An unbelievable increase in immorality, wickedness, shamelessness, rebellions against God, and the casting off of moral restraint will characterize the last day. Y'all, it's a lot of stuff that's going on that's been prophesied that is taking place. And many people are walking around here like God is not even coming. The Bible says he's coming like a thief in the night. Y'all understand that? Like a thief in the night. Unexpected, but he's coming. We need to understand that we are in these last days. And in these last days, we as Christians should not be walking around as if nothing is going to happen. Disasters are increasing. Wars and rumors of wars increasing. But it's also becoming more and more obvious that people are becoming colder towards one another. Doesn't it seem to you that in these days it takes very little to bring out anger in someone? Very little to bring out anger. Friendliness is diminished while a spirit of meanness has surfaced in its place. We have left God behind, and without God in our lives, there is no love, there's no joy, there is no peace. To compensate for the absence of God in their lives, many people have turned to alcohol, drugs, ungodly sexual relationships. This only makes matters worse. And so the love of many waxes cold and colder. Murder is increasing as human lives becomes unimportant to those whose minds and hearts are cold. Y'all see what's happening. Seems like, well, nobody really cares about this race. Nobody cares about that race. Seems like the human heart has waxed cold. When God created man, he did so with our well-being in mind. He didn't create us like the angels or like the beast of the field. He had a much higher purpose in mind for creating mankind. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." You see that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. God created everything, but only man was created in his image. Only man was created in his image. This should instill in you a desire to please God, because you were created in his image. Out of all of his creation. Matter of fact, he took the time out to shape you. That's what God did. I'm sure I'm not the only one who has noticed the coldness that has come over the people that we've seen. The news headlines are filled with stories of murder, brutality, hatred. Even when walking down the sidewalk or the department aisle, you know, folks are not even smiling anymore. People are just looking just mean. Most are talking on their cell phones or texting and unaware of real people. Amen. That's walking around. If they run into you with their shopping cart, they look at you as if you're the one that ran into me. Where is the joy in people's lives these days? If we are children of the King, we should be filled with the joy that God has given us. Even Christians today look as though they've been defeated. The enemy can't win in your life unless you allow him to. You allowing him to defeat you. So therefore, he's given power over you because you're allowing him to do that. Many things separate people today. I remember stories being told about how families would eat at the dinner table and talk to each other. Then I heard about how television came. And people began to eat in front of the television. And dinner conversations became history. Today, cell phones have now come in between people even more. Real people seldom talk with other real people anymore, and so many people disconnect from other people. You know, it's bad when you're in the house with someone and you're getting a text message. Anybody think that's right? I'm just saying. That's where it was coming. There was a lady who said it was communicating, trying to talk to the son. Well, she was like, well, you better off texting him in the house. Because we communicate different now. There's no more how you doing face to face. Most folks don't even want to make eye contact with you anymore. But now it's more of text them. Can you come here? I'm in the other room. What we have to understand, you all, listen to what I'm saying here. Sometimes you have to slow it down so we can understand. A lot of times we get that up-tempo music, it's good. But you notice sometimes the musician will play something to kind of slow it down a little bit. This satanic evil won't be tolerated by God too much longer. Keep this in mind. Keep this in mind. All this, you can't continue to do wrong and expect wrong to come out of it. That's not going to continue to happen. It's not going to work. If you're a person that's always doing something wrong, you think you're getting away, I'm telling you, it is not going to continue to happen. I'm a big fan of watching the U.S. Marshals on TV. Sometimes I'm suited up, and when they be with because the camera guy is me, but that's me suited up, and I be following behind them, be trying to tell people, get on the ground, get on the ground. My point is what I'm trying to say. If you ever watch that show, those U.S. Marshals are relentless in their pursuit. They will snatch you up out their bed 1 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. They come at you when you least expect it. You think you out with your girlfriend, and next thing you know, they watching you. And then all of a sudden, you see all these cars pull up on you. My point is what I'm saying is, all that evil that has been done by that individual came to an end. Y'all follow me? So is what God is going to do on those wicked people. God is not going to continue to tolerate evil. Anyone who thinks they can deny or take over God's authority is standing on very unstable ground. God is patient, but there's only so much so much evil and corruption that he will put up with. How much will he put up with, Pastor? That's not for me to say. We have to let God decide that. That's like I told my son. I said, I'll decide when you get punished. Not you tell me. Y'all follow me? I had a cousin who was sentenced her own punishment to her parents. No, you don't make that decision. That's a decision that's made by the authorities. God's desire is that none of us shall perish, but that we have everlasting life. That is his desire. We have to understand that just as in the days of Noah, people were waxing cold and all creation was being corrupted. The earth, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." Did God put an end to that? You don't think he's going to put an end to this? He's going to do it. God is going to do what he said he's going to do. This is why I preach out of the Bible. Because I want you to understand that even though I don't like to, I may not like to preach certain things because it may affect me, but it's still God's word. It is still God's word. These sermons sometimes may not fill or pack the house. It may not pack the house. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to impact your soul. That's what you need to be concerned about. Because you need to understand where you're going to spend eternity. We need to understand this. God will bring to pass what he has promised. Now, I understand that, you know, we can see all of this wickedness is going on. I'm going to tell you, don't get caught up in that. Stay true to God's word. Understand that all of this stuff is going on, but listen to this. Even though all of this is going on, hell doesn't have enough devils and you don't have enough enemies to keep God's purpose and plan for your life from being fulfilled.
Amen.
God didn't bring you this far to forsake you.
Amen.
He has too much invested in you to give up on you.
Amen.
You need to understand that. Too much at stake invested in you to give up on you right now. That's not going to happen. Hell is not in charge of your life.
Amen.
You don't belong to the devil. You belong to God.
Amen.
You need to constantly say that to yourself. Fight that spirit that is trying to rise up against you to rebel against God. Satan doesn't control your destiny, and hell doesn't have the power to stop you or keep you down. Just as the devil couldn't keep Jesus in the grave, neither can the devil keep you in your trial, your setback, or your afflictions that you may be in right now.
Amen.
Doesn't have that power. Peter said it was impossible for death to hold Jesus. Jesus did not have enough enemies. The Roman soldiers did not have enough power. Even Satan himself could not stop the resurrection. Jesus was destined to go into the grave, and he was also destined to come out.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus knew that he would be crucified. But he also knew that after the crucifixion, there would be a resurrection.
Amen.
He knew that the cross was not the end, but he knew that it was only the beginning. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. God will bring you out of your trial. He will do that. The affliction or the setback that you're experiencing, think about this. Understand this. God brought Joseph out of the pit, right? Israel out of Egypt, right? Daniel out of the lion den, right?
Amen.
The Hebrew boys out of the fiery fire, right?
Amen.
In other words, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. So no matter what you go through, God can deliver you through it all. And you got to believe that. And sometimes you got to get an attitude about it. Because here's the thing. No storm is made to last forever. Where's Hurricane Harvey? Where's Hurricane Katrina? It's not made to last forever. You need to understand that. You shouldn't be fighting the same battle today that you were fighting last year too. Let's be real about that now. If you're fighting the same battle you're fighting, we need to talk. Because there's something wrong. You're spinning your wheels. How many things? Listen to this. Listen. In Romans 8, chapter 37, I'm not going to quote all of it, but it's in all things, we are more than conquerors. Amen, amen. See, I need church folks to tell. Work with me on that scripture. See, I can just say a little bit. But when you get the people of God, they hear God's word. They say, I got it, Pastor. I know where you're coming from. I know the chapter. Just say a little bit. Just say a little bit of it. We are more than
conquerors.
Ooh, I love to hear God's word. How many things do we conquer? All things. How often do we triumph? Always. See, God's people know the word. See, that's one thing you can't see. See, when you come to God's people, you got to come on. You better know this word, because they're going to be like, that don't sound. No, I'm going to tell you, my grandfather, he'd be 90 years old. God bless him. This is a man, some preacher tried to challenge him one day, and I was a young minister at the time, and may have been a deacon. I can't remember, but I remember the incident. I remember the immature minister came to my grandfather and said something to him, and the minister got the verse all twisted up. Didn't even say it right, and my grandfather was like, when he sent the guy back to where he came, because he didn't know what he was talking about, and my grandfather shook his head and said, amateur. Grandfather said, that was an amateur. He said, boy, don't know what he's talking about. Came over here, tried to fight with a knife. Knowing, he said, did he know that I'm armed? Y'all better understand something. When you come to God's people, better know God's word. Because that's what's going to, let me tell you something. Even the angels, they only move when you speak God's word. They ain't going to move when you say your word. But when you speak, they want to hear God's word. That's what's going to make them activate. It makes them move. But if you speaking what you want to speak, they like this. But as soon as you say God's word, he will give my angels charge over thee. Okay. Different story. Different story. Y'all have to understand. You got to, I'm going to tell you something. If another preacher come in here and preach, if they ain't coming out of here, nothing. Shut it down. You got my permission. If I'm on vacation, you ain't got to call me. You are a child of God. Shut it down. Why do you need to call your pastor to say, Pastor, we got somebody, they hear and they don't sound like the Bible. Lord Jesus, what have I been teaching? Come on. Shut them down. You need to hear God's word. If you're not hearing this word, let me tell you something. Whatever it said, if any man come with any other doctrine. Y'all heard that? Come on now.
Let it be a curse. That's the word of God. Y'all need to understand, if you don't hear God's word coming out of somebody's mouth, and if they just rambling, sit them down. Let me tell you something. You don't find too many bold people in the church anymore. Very few, because people are like, I ain't want to hurt the feelings. Mm-mm. I saw it boldly done before when I was young. And it did something to me. Because God said, that's the way you're going to need to be. I wasn't even a pastor. I was just getting saved. But God knew what was coming. See, that's the thing. But we don't understand what we're going through is because God is preparing you for what is coming. If I didn't go through anything, I wouldn't be able to stand before you. I said it before, if a nurse hasn't been through nursing school, why does she have on a uniform doing bedside care? That is not a nurse. That is an imposter. When I go and do inspections at these doctor's offices, when I first walk in, I'm looking for credentials. If I don't see credentials, I do not pass this location. Why? Because I want to know what you've been through. I need to see something. I need credentials up here. I need to know if you're certified in this, you're certified in that, you're certified in that. Who stamped their approval on you? One of the things that my grandfather taught me is that a lot of self-made people out here. I didn't quite understand that years ago, but I understand it now. But I'm trying to get you to understand, regardless of what you may be going through, regardless of what you're facing, you have that promise. All things work together to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. If you could understand his purpose, the problem wouldn't drive you crazy. Amen. Amen. If you understand the purpose, it won't drive you crazy. If I had to tell a cousin of mine when she was young, wasn't even in law school, but going through so much, I had to tell her, the reason why you're going through so much right now is because the task that you're getting ready to do when you get older. Right. Now she's a lawyer. Uh-huh. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Yeah. See, she didn't understand it then, but she was being prepared and drilled at a young age. See, a lot of us is thinking people just picking on me. Everybody just picking on me. I must have a pick on me sign. You don't have a pick on you sign. I don't have a pick on me sign. People ain't picking on you. You're the one that pray, God, I want to be delivered. God, I want to be blessed. God, I want to be. God, I want to be. God, I want to be. God said, oh, you want to be. In other words, I got something for your wannabe. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Okay, you're going to go through then. That's the way that works. If you will stay true in your hard times, God will use your adversity to make advancement. Your disappointments will become God's appointments. Your opinions will open doors of opportunity. See, here's the thing you need to understand. There's not a pit deep enough. There's not a fire hot enough. There's not a storm powerful enough. There's not a chain strong enough. Neither can hold you back. You were made to win. In Adam, you were a loser, but in Christ, you're a winner. That's the big difference. God is not a loser, so you can't be one. You can't be one. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. Before time began, you were part of God's plan. You were chosen with Christ before the foundation of this world. So you were a part of God's, you're a part of God's family. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to you. When Satan sees you, he sees a child of God. He sees what you are about to become and what you are about to do. Y'all ain't getting me. Okay, I got something deep for you. When Satan sees you, he sees destiny. That's why he has made such an attack against you. He knows you have been chosen for such a time as this. And he wants to keep you from becoming what God has predestined for you to become. He wants to keep you from your future. Hell is not fighting you because of who you now are, or where you now are, or what you now have. Hell is fighting you because of who you are about to become.
Come on, Pastor. Come on and say it.
And where you are about to go, yeah. And what you are about to have. Yeah. Hell is afraid of your future.
Yes. Come on now. Amen. Amen.
You are going through what you're going through because it's something called destiny. People that are not going through anything are people that are not going anywhere.
Come on.
Can't follow a parked car. You ain't going nowhere. Listen to this. If David hadn't been destined to be king, he wouldn't have had to run from Saul for 13 years. If Joseph hadn't had the promise of the palace, he would have never had to go into the pit and then into prison. If Israel had not been on her way to a wealthy place, she would not have had to go through the fire and through the flood.
Well,
y'all understand this?
Yes.
Your future is better than your past.
Amen.
Satan knows if he can keep you in your past, that you will never move into your future.
Amen.
That's why Satan is spending so much time talking about your yesterday.
Yes. Yes.
Y'all ever hear Satan talk about tomorrow?
No.
Never talks about tomorrow. That's a different story. But that's why he always want to talk about yesterday. Y'all ever see somebody come up to you and want to bring up your past? Think about who that is. That's a spirit on them. Anytime somebody continues to talk about your past, what you used to do, what you used to be, somebody is doing that, look that devil in the eye and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Because God has delivered you from that. Y'all understand it? Now, I know people say, well, you going to go around calling people devil? If he talking like one, you better call it out. What you going to do? Call it? No, call it the devil. Maybe we need to do a second service. Because I need to make sure we understand what we're dealing with here. People act like they're afraid of the devil. Why are you afraid of the devil? I told you what God did to him last week, didn't I? That's why the demons are trembling, because when you take out the leader, what the rest of them going to do? Y'all understand that? When the person who is the biggest, the baddest of all of them, and he get knocked out, what the, hey. That's how that works. That's why they were trembling. They knew what, see, they saw in the spiritual realm. Because they are spirits. So they saw the leader got knocked out too. Y'all understand that? Don't think they didn't know what's going on. They knew well aware what was going on. They knew that Satan got knocked out. Somebody had to help him up. I'm telling y'all better know. Somebody had to help him up.
Them demons have to go get them, man. you all right?
Come on now. Free. Come on. Free.
Like lightning.
Don't build your future around your past.
Amen.
Forecast on tomorrow and not your yesterday.
Amen.
Talk about your future and not your past. Don't dwell on where you were yesterday. Dwell on where you are today.
Yes.
And where you are about to go.
Yes.
It's your future, your destiny. Satan wants to keep you from entering into. Everything you are going through, the battle, the affliction, the test, the setbacks, the strange trials, the abnormal hindrance and that you're experiencing, everything that you are going through is the enemy trying to keep you from your destiny. That's all that is. That's all that is. Satan wants you to focus. He wants you to lose your focus. He wants you to become discouraged and give up on your potential. Don't let your eyes get off of the prize that God has set before you. Quit looking at what you're going through and begin to look at what you're going to. So don't think on what is what you're experiencing, but think about what you're expecting.
All right.
Amen. We need to start expecting. Amen. Satan's greatest fear is your tomorrow. Satan doesn't want you to become who God said you would be.
Right.
Period. He doesn't want you to go through, go to where God said you would go. No, I don't want you to do that. No, why would he want you to do that? He's attacking you. Why did Pharaoh try to kill Moses as a baby? Moses wasn't working any miracles, not as a baby. Moses wasn't delivering people.
Come on.
He wasn't delivering the people of God as a baby. Moses was just a little Hebrew boy that looked no different than any other child, Hebrew child that was around that time. Pharaoh didn't try to kill Moses as a little baby because of who he was at the time. Pharaoh wasn't afraid of Moses. He wasn't afraid of who Moses was. Pharaoh was afraid of who Moses would become, and that is Israel's deliverer.
Yeah.
He ain't afraid of the baby, but it's what that baby is going to become.
Yeah.
That's why Satan does what he's doing to you, because he's afraid of what you will become. Joseph's brothers didn't try to kill him because of who Joseph was at the time. Joseph was only 17 years old and had a dream. Joseph's brothers weren't afraid of who he was. They were afraid of who Joseph would become.
Yeah.
They were afraid that his dreams might really come to pass. Saul wasn't afraid of David as a young boy playing the harp. Saul loved it when David played the harp because the evil spirit of Saul would leave. Saul wasn't afraid of who David was at the time. Saul was afraid of who David would become, and that's Israel's next king.
Yes. Amen.
Because Jesus wasn't even 2 years old, or probably, you know, around 2 years old, Satan moved on the heart of Herod to have all the male children 2 years and under killed. Why was Satan trying to kill Jesus as a baby? He had never opened the eyes of the blind, healed a leper, cast out a devil. Jesus hadn't even turned water into wine yet, or even multiplied any loaves of fishes. Neither had Jesus shed any blood of the prophets, or Jesus walked on water. Jesus looked like all the other babies of his day. Jesus cried like any other normal child. Satan wasn't afraid of Jesus as a baby. Satan was afraid of who Jesus would become. Satan wasn't afraid of what he was doing at the time. He was acting like a baby at the time. He was afraid of what Jesus would become in the future. So Satan knew he had to stop Jesus as a baby so he wouldn't become a man. Notice I said, so he wouldn't become a man. These boys need to grow up to become a man.
Yes. Yes.
Satan is stopping these boys from growing up to becoming a man. So they sissifying them. If Jesus never became a man, then there would never be a crucifixion. If there wasn't a crucifixion, there wouldn't be a resurrection. In the lives of all of that I've mentioned, Moses, Joseph, David, and Jesus, plus many more throughout the word of God, the devil's plan did not prevail. The same is true in your life. The enemy's plan will not prevail. God's plan will prevail, and God's purpose concerning your life will stand. What I'm saying is, it doesn't matter who or what is against you, because God is for you. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? The devil can't kill you. If he could, he would have did it already. You wouldn't be here right now. He doesn't have that kind of power. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Think about that for a moment. If the devil could kill you, he would have done it. God already gave us his job description. But the problem we have to understand is that tells you, even though he comes to rob, kill, and destroy, he doesn't have the power. How do he get the power? You hand it over to him. Let me tell you something. How do a thief get in my house? I just hand it over to him. Give them the keys to come in. I don't know, leave a note on the door that says the keys is underneath the mat. Give them access into the house. Hey man, there's keys right here. And just go on in the house. If you do that, you're giving him access. In spite of everything you've been through, in spite of the hurts, the betrayals, the setbacks, the battles that you've walked through, you're still standing. You're still alive. Why? Because the scripture said, I shall not die, but live, and declares the works of the Lord. Look at what you've already been through. Look at the hell you've already been through. Look at what you had to go through to get to this place where you are now. You know what that tells me? You're a survivor. You're a survivor. Others would have lost their mind, given up, you know, say, hey, man, I quit. The thing about it is, you're not alive today because of some luck. Okay? You're not alive today because of a cross that you may wear around your neck. You're not alive today because of some rabbit foot that you got in your pocket, thinking that rabbit foot is giving you good luck. Let me tell you something. That rabbit foot ain't giving you good luck because it ain't do too much for the rabbit. The rabbit did have four. I'm just saying. So if it didn't do nothing for the rabbit, it ain't going to do nothing for you. I can tell you what a rabbit is. Ask a southerner. It's probably in the skillet. I asked Brother Pittman, where that rabbit at? He'll tell you. As he, I got it, Pastor. Brother Pittman will say he got it. Y'all better understand something. That rabbit foot is not helping you. It's the word of God that's helping you. That's what's bringing you through. If it had not been for the Lord on our side. And then it says, now may Israel say, if it had not been for the Lord on our side, when men rose up against him, we need Jesus. If the devil would have had his way, you would not be here. If your enemies would have had their way, you would be dead. But God, it's the one that's keeping you. Because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. One of the hardest places to be in this place, the hardest places, is to be in the in between. In between. In the place of call in between is where your faith is severely tried. It's a place where the devil will try to get you to give up on your dreams, your vision, to give you to give up on your purpose, your destiny. When you are between Egypt and the promised land, that's the in-between I'm talking about. In between the pit and the palace, that's the in-between that I'm talking about. In between the crucifixion and the resurrection, the enemy will try to make you doubt the promise that God has placed on your heart and get you to give up. It's the place of in between that we as people of God need to hold fast to what God has said to us. God called Gideon a mighty man of valor, and he wasn't even doing anything. Why? Because God calls it as he sees it. Even though he wasn't doing it, but God looked at the few chapters ahead and said, I see a mighty man of valor doing what I'm calling him to do. That's what happened. God changed Abraham's name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. He don't have any children. But God made everybody call his name. Because every time you called his name, you're calling what God spoke to him. Yes. In other words, see, name means something. So you were basically telling God his promise back to him every time you called Abraham's name. All right, now. And so all God did was manifest that every time you spoke it. Because God's word would not return to him void. Amen. God doesn't see you as you are now. He sees you who you can become. He doesn't see you at the place you are now. He sees you at the place he has purpose for you to go. You're like a seed. A seed doesn't look like the fruit is going to produce. A seed doesn't look like the fruit is going to become. You're about to become what God has said you will become. I remember when I was watching Brother Pittman and Brother Moore out there planting the garden. And I'm an amateur, so I was just standing off on the side watching these Mississippi boys, these Southern men, you know, do their work. And they, I'm going to tell you, you thought you was at Jefferson Barracks. They had everything all lined up and perfect and everything. I'm sitting there looking like, I would have just went out there, poom, 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 and been done with it, right? They had it all lined up and everything. Let me tell you something. It looked like a cemetery to me. But they knew what they were doing. That's right. That's right. I saw Brother Pittman, he get down on his knees, and he was putting it in, he was going in and out, and they was covering him up. And I was just sitting there watching, and then God gave me a revelation. And God said that, you know, once, you know, they buried. They went down one way, but they're not coming up the same way. They're coming up different. You understand what I'm saying? They going down as a seed. But when they come up out of the ground, they're going to come up with some produce inside of them, ready to blossom. That's what God was showing me. Even though I saw him go down, but when I saw it come up, I'm like, that's not the same seed I saw planted. It was a transformation that took place in the ground that came up out of the ground. Y'all have to understand something. You're not going to stay the same as you are. Not with God. He loves you as you are. But God has a work that he's doing inside of you that he's going to bring to completion. Some of y'all are fighting it. But it's just growing pains. It's just some stretching that's going on. Some of us don't like to come out of our comfort zone. We don't like to be stretched. We like to, you know, do that exercise. Not much sweat there, baby. I got it. Oh, I got this. Oh, I got it. Not much sweat. But man, when you have to do this. Whoo. That's a different story. We don't like to be expound and stretch. We don't like that. But that's where God is going to take some of us. See, here's the thing. You're close to your destiny because you're about to step into the greatest days of your life. Hell has made an all-out attack against you. If you're experiencing an increase of demonic activity, it's because Satan has discovered your purpose. If Satan is highly interested in you, it is because God is highly interested in you. Y'all understand that? Y'all understand that? I'm telling you. If there's like all of a sudden there's an intense interest on your behalf, that's because God has a high interest on you. I don't mean to say this in a bad way. Lord, don't let nobody take this the bad way. But understand this. When people in the Bible were called, notice that the attack was on them greater. Yes. Y'all understand that? It was on them much greater. Why? Because there was a high interest that God had on them. So Satan took a high interest, which is why when it came to Jesus, Satan wanted to handle this one himself. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Because Satan understands that there is something much bigger at stake here. So you have to understand, if there is a high interest on you, that there's a high interest of Satan on you. So in other words, there's an attack that's going to come. So you definitely need to stay underneath the ministry. You need to stay in the Word of God. Because you need to understand that when somebody comes at you and try to tell you, which is going to happen. And I'm going to tell you this. There's an alarm that goes off inside of me. I have to tell y'all this. That if somebody come and say, God told me to say this to you, if I don't hear a word, a scripture that follows behind that, I have a hard time believing it. You want me to tell you why I have a hard time believing? Because many people come in God's name. I'm even saying this. God said, Pastor, let me tell you something. There's a lot of people that's forging my name on something that I did not say to them. But they are forging my name on some documents, on some words that they have given to somebody. God said, I did not say that. God said, people going around forging my name. If you say God told me, then they ought to be able to come out of here. Why? Because this is God's word. It is still true today as it was yesterday. This carried my grandmama in. This carried my great-grandmama in. This carried my great-great-granddaddy in. If it carried them in, it's going to take me on in. So this is why there's an alarm that goes off on inside of me when I don't hear something that supports what you just said. Because what's happening is my spirit is doing this. And it's telling us that that's not God's word. Why? Because even like Jesus said, it is written. Satan came to him and said this, and God and Jesus said, it is written, man. Come on now. He said, it's written. Hold up now. It is written.
It is written. You have to keep saying it. He had Jesus was ministering to himself. It is written. No, that's not my daddy. That's not, you got to get off to yourself. That's not my daddy's word. It's not what my daddy said. That ain't what my daddy said. No, that ain't what I heard. No, no. I can't. No, no. You have to know for yourself. Many false prophets, many false people, they're going to come in God's name. But that ain't what God is saying. But you need to understand something. Understand this. Understand this. God is doing a work in you. And you need to listen to what God is saying. We are living in the last days. Last days. We know not the day nor the hour that he's going to come. My grandfather was preaching the same message when I was a child. This message is still relevant till this day. No man knows the day nor the hour, but he is soon to come. See, the thing about it is, we look at it this way. We're looking at God to part the sky. Yes, that can happen, and it will happen at some day. But before that happens, let me say this. Stop looking for that, and notice when your day may check out of here, is what I'm trying to say. Because today may be your last day. You understand what I'm saying? Today may be your last day. You preach your eulogy. Not the pastor. You preach it. How do you preach it? Your lifestyle. You may not be able to control the born date, the year. May not be able to control that. May not be able to control the date that you check out of here. But the one thing that you can't control that's on that obituary is that dash. That's in the middle. That's what you can control. Amen.